Well, you're waiting for something else there, aren't you? How about if we turn over to 1 Chronicles tonight? I may not be very demonstrative tonight. I might just kind of talk to you a little bit. I hope I can help you a little bit. That was great singing, brother. Really appreciate that. Great impromptu, too. I mean, you didn't miss a note, man. That was perfect. I like that. Now, to me, and I'm not being anything. I like stuff like that because it's real. I mean, we ain't perfect. We all make mistakes, you know. Don't worry, I'll probably forget to turn the page on my sermon here, you know. I may miss 4 or 5 points, you know, but we're all real, we're all human, you know, and we all make mistakes, mess up a lot of stuff. But man, when you mess up, just get up and go try it again. Don't quit, you know. It's just a blessing to me whenever people are real. I really appreciate it. I've always tried to be real in preaching. I never did want to be something that I'm not. And I've not really strived for that, but I never could figure out how to put on airs. I don't know how. And I don't like it whenever people, hey, man, how are you doing? I just now saw you. It's really good to see you. Yeah. You have a mustache. I haven't seen you in a mustache, okay? I'm sorry. That was worth having a squirrel, okay? I'm sorry. Man, it's really good to see you. Sure. It's been 5 years since I've seen you. You came, helped us pass out tracks, man. That's just a real blessing to see you. Look at that smile on that boy right there. I'm telling you. But I never did want to be something I'm not. I don't know how, and I don't never wanted to be that in preaching either. And sometimes I probably said a little much, probably went a little bit further than I should have. I probably said a little bit more about Karen than I should have over the years. And apparently I have, I guess. But, I had a good heart about it. I was trying to learn. And I was trying to figure out what to do and the direction to go. And I was, I had a real desire to serve the Lord. I still do. I don't want you to think I've give up on it. But I'm speaking in the past tense a little bit, trying to get myself started here. I used to think that whenever it come to preaching, it was all about doctrine. Now that was right after I graduated from Bible school, and you know, our heads were full of doctrine, and we need that. We need doctrine, and I've heard all kind of statements about preaching. I'm sure your pastor has too. You know, I've heard a statement, you know, that said that, well, not all doctrine makes good preaching. And then I heard my pastor say one time, well, if it ain't good doctrine, it can't be good preaching. And so I hung on to that one. You know, those little tidbits that myself as a preacher, I kind of hung on to, you know, and doctrine's important. And then I got to the place to where I thought it was about delivery. Now, I'm going to make this all make sense in a minute, if you'll just give me a minute to get there. And I thought it was about delivery, and so I studied preaching. I studied preaching and preachers. And I was fascinated with preaching. I was fascinated with delivery, with method. I was fascinated with inflection of voice. I was fascinated the way that, you know, they said things and the way they could draw people in with words and how they could draw the crowd in with words, not with pictures. And they could say something and the crowd could see the scene. You know, Brother Peacock is absolutely just fantastic at that. He's got a gift at that. You can be standing here, and he can be talking about the brook, you know, and the water just creeping over the brook, and you can hear the sound of the brook making, you know, just a little bit of noise as it rolls over that pebble, and it goes, you know, like that. And you can imagine in your mind, you know, and you're at the brook. And so I studied that. I listened to him, paid attention. And any time there was preaching, I was listening. I listened to good preaching, listened to bad preaching. And I've listened to a lot over the years, and I really enjoy preaching, but now it's not all about the delivery either. And then I kept reading in my Bible, and you know the Bible says a false balance is an abomination in the sight of God. And I kept reading in my Bible, you know, and it keeps on saying in places, you know, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord." The word of the Lord came to so-and-so saying. And so there's a declaration, you know, there's a declaration of truth that we're trying to declare to you guys, to get something across to you. We're trying our best to give you what the Bible says that God said, and trying to give it to you in such a way to where that it's presentable, you know, and you can understand it. We use illustrations so that it gives you some understanding, and hopefully the Holy Spirit of God will get in there and do something with that so that you can understand it. So now that I'm, you know, 30, I guess 6 years into this thing, now I think it's doctrine and delivery and declaration all kind of wrapped up into a big old ball. And it's not one of them. It's not just one single thing. I think we need to pay attention to all of those things. And then when the preaching is going on, hopefully the Holy Spirit of God is moving through the congregation and working through the preacher and giving him the words that need to be said, so that whatever is being said is getting into your heart and the Lord is dealing with you on an individual basis about whatever it is that God wants to deal with you about. And then if we are praying like we should and, you know, doing everything we ought to, the best that we can, and we are not perfect, no preacher in any pulpit is perfect. But what we're trying to do is do our best so that we can stay as clean as we possibly can so that we can declare unto you, thus saith the Lord. And we can give you what God wants you to have, what God needs for you to have, something that'll help you to grow a little bit. You know, I think about David in the Old Testament. David had great desire, didn't he? You know, I mean, King David, he had a great desire to do something for the Lord. Now, I'm going to say a little bit more about this in the morning, but David was a man after God's own heart. And he loved God. I believe you can read the psalm and you can see where David loved God. And I believe that the Lord loved David. And I believe that he favored David, especially over Saul, the king. He favored David over that for sure. Okay, so now David loved the Lord. He wanted to serve the Lord. He had a great desire to do something for the Lord. And I love to read things about David. And you know, years ago I had preached about over in 2 Samuel chapter 6 about the Ark of God. And how that, you know, they went down and carried that Ark of God out and they got it back, you know, and Uzzah lost his life over that thing. I love that sermon. I enjoy preaching. I've only preached it a couple of times. But I love the thought behind that sermon. I got that thing from Vance Havner, if you don't know the truth about it. I stole it from him. But now, I don't think for a minute that I think I can preach it better than him. But for me, it kind of fit. You know, it's something I could get a hold of, you know, and something I could preach. It was my outline, but the idea came from him. And so I was thinking about David, how that David had this great desire and this great zeal to do something for God. And I was kind of comparing that to my life, you know. When I first got started, I had a tremendous desire to do something for God. I mean, I wanted to do anything. I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to do something. I was willing to stop my car with my wife and my little baby daughter, who was probably, about a year and a half old. And I would stop my car and I would talk to anybody on any street about Jesus Christ. I'd stop the car, I'd get out, I'd go witness to them. Here's Karen sitting in the car in Pensacola, Florida, with the windows up and at 99 degrees, you know, with a baby and her sitting there and me witnessing to whoever, you know. And a lot of those folks got saved, you know, standing on the side of roads, cars passing by, and, you know, the Lord just blessing, and just because I was just crazy, you know, just trying. Now I've got older and wiser, and I don't do those things anymore. You know, we grow up, and we kind of lose a little of that. I think we ought to get just a little of that zeal back. Not be crazy, But maybe a little zeal wouldn't, you know, it might help us a little bit, you know, to get maybe just a touch of excitement about the Lord. I mean, maybe just, you know, whenever somebody's singing, man, that a mighty fortress is our God. What a song, man. And you get to thinking about that, how good that God's been to us, you know, and thinking about all the years that we've served the Lord. And some of you, you got some years under your belt. Some of you, you've been around a long time, a lot longer than me. Now let's look there in 1 Chronicles and look in chapter 15. You know, over in Ezekiel, that is one of my favorite books, in Ezekiel chapter 2, I think it is, in Ezekiel chapter 3, the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, he was to declare the truth to them. Preach and teach to them. Show them what the Bible has to say. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, over the years have come through these doors. Some will accept the truth and some will not accept the truth. Some enjoy the truth, some love the truth, and some don't really like it all that much. Some love the truth as long as you're talking about somebody else in the congregation, but whenever it comes to them and you begin to hit them, not on purpose. I don't really know of any preacher that goes around and intentionally tries to hit people from the pew, from the pulpit. I don't think we're just up here, you know, just half-cocked, just going around, okay, it's your turn today. You're sitting there with your little blue dress on and your little cute smile, and I'm going to wipe that smile off your face before we leave today. Ain't no preachers doing that, you know. Keep the smile. Please don't lose the smile. It is your job to smile all the way through the sermon. That way I'll know I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to, okay? It's your job. But I want to make sure that what I'm doing is pleasing to God. I want to make sure that how I'm delivering is exactly the way God wants me to. And you know, used to in my delivery, you guys know how I used to be, you know, and I've tried to change over the years, and I'd get it in the high hum from the get-go, you know, and then we didn't bring it down until it was time for invitation. And I liked that. You may not have liked it, but I really enjoyed it, you know. My voice was shot the whole time that I was preaching. Our calling, I believe, is to deliver what God says, however it is that we say it. Brother Knowles, he delivers it a little bit different than I do. He can deliver it in 25 minutes. I cannot. Yeah, Brother David said, no, he can't either. He tried last night, but he didn't get her done. But I do believe a declaration, however it's delivered, I think it'll get the job done. I've noticed over the years that I don't have to get very loud in order to get a point across. I thought you had to, but you don't. I've learned over the years just to let the Lord lead you, and then he might actually feed the people. And that's what I hope tonight. I hope God will feed you a little bit. Now, this is not a what you call a barn burner of a message, but I sure hope that God speaks to you. I hope that God will help you tonight. Now let's look at a couple of verses here. I want you to notice 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Look down in verse 1. It says, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. He learned a lesson, didn't he? For them hath the Lord chosen to carry it. Have you ever learned a lesson? For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Bob Jones Sr. said that it is never right to do wrong to get an occasion to do right. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit tonight about doing right the right way at the right time. Just trying to help us out a little bit. All right, now let's look down at verse 13. As a point of reference, I'm going to say that to me, verse 13 is going to be the key verse here. And I mean, it's one of them, you know, when I was reading out, I want you to understand, in my daily Bible reading, I'm up in Nehemiah chapter 11 right now. So it hadn't been too long ago that I ran across this verse, and boy, it got me. Isn't it good whenever a verse just grabs you, just captures your attention? That's what I was trying to tell you a little bit last night. He says, for because ye did it not at the first. Now, he didn't kill David. Right? He says, the Lord our God made a breach upon us for that we, notice what it says here because I think it's very important, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the first time David goes down there, he goes down there in his zeal. Now, I believe that there are times whenever we can do right at a wrong time. And I believe we can look in the Bible over in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, and we can see the temptations that Satan tried to rail against the Lord Jesus Christ and tried to get him to do right at the wrong time. And I believe we all are capable of that. I believe it's right to read your Bible, like I was preaching about last night. But I don't believe it's right to read your Bible tonight while we've got service going on. I believe it's right to have a nursing home ministry. I hope I'm not going to kick. This is not my intention to kick anybody. I think it's very right to have a nursing home ministry, but not during Sunday school when you should be in church. You know, probably not. You know, in my opinion, probably not the time to have a nursing home ministry. I got a couple of amens, but maybe the rest of you are having nursing home ministries, you know, while Sunday school going on. I don't know. I mean, I think it's right to pass out tracts. Now, this one may hurt your feelings a little bit, but maybe not at work when you're supposed to be on the clock working for the people that you're supposed to be working for. I'm just throwing that out there, you know. Now, is passing out tracts right, Brother David? Is being a good witness right? Absolutely. And take every opportunity that the Lord gives you, but there's a right time to do everything. I mean, there's a right time to show affection to your wife, but maybe not, you know, at church. Ooh, a little stiff there. I mean, I'm all for putting your arm around. As a matter of fact, I love putting my arm around my wife and holding her hand. I think that's proper affection. But I heard tell one time this pastor was teaching people how to kiss their wife up here. And he was bringing people up as examples. Maybe not the proper place for that. Amen. Now, is it right to kiss your wife, your own wife, and nobody else's wife, so help you God? But I mean, is there a proper place to do that? So, I mean, we all know that there could be a right thing to do, but there's also a wrong time that you could do it. Then we all know that there's something we could do wrong at the right time. So we got to be careful of that too, you know. But now what I'm trying to find tonight is this. How to figure out to do right at the right time, at the right place. Doing it according to the way that God wants you to do it. Now, I think that's kind of the trick there. Now, if you decide that you are not going to follow God's order, His due order, then you might receive a little bit of a shock. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? And I want to explain it this way. Here's Uzzah and his brother Ahio, and they're used to the ark. You know, that's kind of what I said in that first sermon. You know, they're kind of used to the ark. And David and all the people go down there. They're excited. They want to bring the ark of God back where it's supposed to be, you know. And they go down there and they get that ark and they put it on a new cart. Everybody kind of knows the story about that thing. And you notice that it says over there in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that Ahio went in front. He went before the ark. I don't read in that Bible anywhere where anybody's supposed to go before the ark. As a matter of fact, in the book of Joshua, that ark was supposed to be about 2,000 paces in between them and the priests. They were not supposed to be within that realm right there between 2,000 paces, and we sure ain't supposed to get ahead of it. I think sometimes we can get out ahead of God doing things we ought not be. Maybe David got out ahead of God that day. Maybe David didn't seek the face of the Lord. Maybe he didn't go and get in his prayer closet and say, God, I've got a great desire. You know, one time he comes to Nathan, he says, Nathan, I'm going to build a house for God. I'm going to build the most magnificent house, you know. And Nathan said, do all that is in thine heart. And then Nathan goes home, you know, and the Lord speaks to him at night in a dream. like he does to most pastors. That's how we get our sermons, you know. They come to us in a dream, you know. You remember when we was having the ordination, we're all sitting here, you know, and I think it was Brother Hightower, he kept asking, he'd say, now, brother, how do you get your sermons? Oh, I had my pen out, man. I wanted to know. I was like, okay, there's going to be a nugget here somewhere, you know. And I was looking at all of you, you know. I was like, okay, one of these guys are going to give us the real deal here, you know. And none of you said you got it by dream, so I put my pen down. I quit writing, you know. It's here he comes, you know, and the Lord speaks to Nathan at night, you know, and then the next day goes Nathan. He said, I'm sorry, David, you can't build that house like you, but your son can. You've been a bloody man. The Lord won't allow you to do it, but you can prepare for it. I don't think, maybe in my mind, you know, maybe David didn't get down on his knees and beg God and say, Lord, is this the right thing for me to do? Is this what I should be doing? Is this your will for us to go down and get that ark and bring it back? Just in our zeal at times, sometimes just in our zeal, we will do things, and sometimes it may be shocking what God might do to teach us a lesson. Here is a howl out in front, going in front of the ark, you know. Boy, wouldn't that be something? A howl walking down through the aisle. That ark's been in my house all its life. Look at me. Look where it is. It is behind me. And here's Uzzah standing behind it, or beside of it. And he's walking down through there. He says, yeah, that's my big brother right there. And he's following along. And those oxen are taking that ark down through there on that cart, you know, and he's watching a howl out front, and he ain't paying no attention to anything. And then all of a sudden that thing stumbles. Now let me just interject here. You better be careful who you follow. Because they might have good intentions, but they might be taking you down the wrong road. And then, can I also say, you better be careful how you lead and who you lead, because you might be leading somebody into destruction, and then there's a price to be paid. You got to be careful. If you're an older brother, I've got a younger brother. He's 7 years younger than me. When I was young and we were growing up, he said that he learned lessons from me. He said he would watch me and all the trouble that I got into. He decided he was never going to do that because he realized how Mom and Joe, they beat the dog snot out of me, and he decided he wasn't going to get into that trouble, you know. And I was always like, why does Kevin never get the whippings that I got, you know? And Kevin said, well, I just learned by watching you not to do them things, you know. He said, you was learning by trial and error. He said, I was learning by watching you. Now, he just told me this like 3 years ago. And I'm just now getting over this, you know. I'm getting past it finally. You better be careful who you follow and where they're leading you. You better be careful if you're a leader. You better be careful how you lead, because those people are looking at you. Now, here is Uzzah. Can I say that I think Uzzah had good intentions? He reaches over. He touches that ark. He had no business touching that ark. If you read over in Numbers chapter 4, only the Levites were supposed to touch that. Matter of fact, it was even segregated into those different, the Kohathites and the Merarites and the Gershonites. Every one of them had a specific task that they were. As a matter of fact, in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, if you get past down there in verse 4 and you read almost down to verse 13, you'll see that he is still talking about the Kohathites and the Merarites and the Gershonites, because they had a specific task. You know why? That's what God wanted them to do in his order. About a week ago, I think it was just the other day, there was a guy that called me. His name is Mike Robertson. And he called me up and he said, is this the church? And I said, well, I said, it's the phone we use for the church. And he said, is this Mike? And I said, yeah, it's Mike. And I was going through a bad spot, you know, and he said something else. And then I got through, I said, hang on a minute, let me get through this spot right here. And I said, I can talk to you. And so he said again, he said, is this Mike? And I said, yeah. I was even questioning whether it was me or not. I didn't know, you know. I said, yeah, it's me. And he said, my name is Mike Robertson. He said, I worked with you at Goodyear 36 years ago. And I was like, what? He said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Remember you?" I said, "I've used you for an illustration in preaching for years, man." And have you ever heard me give an illustration about whenever I was working at Goodyear years ago, me and this guy, we used to take gospel tracts and we'd stuff them in vacuum cleaners. That's the guy. And we'd put them in people's, whenever they get an oil change, you know, we'd give them a packet, you know, to tell them what mileage they had. We'd stuff tracts in their oil change packet. Listen, man, I just got back in church. Dennis Phillips was beginning to teach me the Bible. And he said, "You ought to be a witness. You ought to put out a gospel tract everywhere you go." I thought that meant everywhere. And man, I mean, we were putting them, we even took the backs of televisions off and we'd lay them in, thinking that maybe the repairman might see it one day and get saved, you know. And I asked him, I said, "Do you remember us doing that?" And he said, "Yes, yes, I do remember us doing that." I said, "Man, it's a wonder we hadn't got fired." He said, "But wasn't it fun?" You know what? I was doing the right thing. Maybe I was doing it at the wrong time, and I was doing it out of zeal. And thank God the Lord didn't let me lose my job over it, you know. But man, I never got in trouble about that. The Lord just allowed me and my zeal and my desire to do something for Him. What a blessing that was. You know, I was thinking about Uzzah. I think, Uzzah, he just wanted to. He saw that ark fall. I can't. If you do a right thing at the wrong time, you might get some shock. You got to be real careful. It looks like a warning, don't it? I'm going to make this a little bit better in a minute. You got to be real careful what you do. And you got to make sure that you're doing it the way the Lord wants you to do it. You got to make sure you're doing it in order. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to get off track here, but I want you to understand this, is that if you don't do things in the due order, there might be some correction. And unfortunately, there may be some casualties. Preacher, I'll tell you that over the years, it amazes me how many Christians that the Lord has allowed me to, if I can just be kind about it, just hurt, just so I could learn a lesson. It's amazing to me how many sermons I've preached knowing that I might hurt somebody or offend somebody. Now, if the Word of God offends you, that's one thing. I can't change that. But if I can change something in me to where that I'm not offensive, then I'll try to do that. Now, used to, I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, you're laughing. Man, I'm telling you, I would not do it. I thought I was the most ultimate compromiser if I gave in to any of that stuff, you know. But not now. I don't know, maybe it's age or maybe Karen's wore on me, you know, and her sweet demeanor and her love and tenderness that she has. I don't know, maybe it's those things. But I don't want to see any more casualties. I want to help. And I want to be an encouragement to you to keep on going for the Lord. Now, if you can learn how to do a right thing at the right time and the right place, the way that God wants you to do it, am I making sense to you so far? Okay, let's look in verse 25. Now, if you can learn how to do that, there's going to be some real satisfaction. Over in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 24:27, it says, "Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." When you do things God's way, in His time, in His order, and in His direction, there's going to be some great satisfaction. Notice there, and I'm going to tell you something, serving the Lord will bring great satisfaction in your life. It is the most satisfying thing that you could ever do in life, bar none. I mean, serving Jesus Christ is the highest calling that there is. Why, the presidents and the kings, they pale in comparison to a calling from God. Thank you for the amens. Look in verse 25, it says, "So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy." I mean, when you come to church and you're doing things the right way, at the right time, in the right place, the way God wants you to do it, you ought to have some joy. I mean, you ought to come to church with a smile on your face and enjoy serving the Lord and enjoy being around God's people and enjoy the songs of Zion and enjoy singing about Jesus Christ. And every time somebody brings up something about the rapture, you ought to get a little tingle on the inside. There ought to be a little stirring on the inside. Don't worry, I can still get her up there. If you would, look back in verse 1, there needs to be some proper preparation. Now, I learned this from your pastor. He's younger than me, but he sure is wise beyond his years. When we first came down to Monticello, Florida, the first year that we're going to take our kids with your kids to camp up here at Help Meet Mariana, we parked right out here with our kids in a van after driving them 9 hours down the road and them screaming and talking and making games. And, you know, they would sing these silly songs. Karen knows all the songs. I'm not good at that stuff, you know. They'd sing these silly songs, you know, coming down the road. It got on my nerves so bad, I'd just like to set them all out, you know. And Karen was singing along with them, you know. And I'm driving, you know, thinking, man, if we make it to Monticello, it is going to be a miracle. I remember Brother David, he called me. I think we had passed Valdosta, Georgia, somewhere up in there, coming on that two-lane or four-lane, whatever it is. And we were coming down through there, and he said, "Hey, Brother Mike, how you doing, man?" "Oh, I'm doing good. I'm really doing good, you know." And he said, "How close are you?" And I told him where we were. And he said, "I think you're about an hour, maybe an hour and a half away." And I was going, "Praise God, praise God." You know, just an hour and a half, and we'll be out of the car, you know. Notice there in verse 1, it says, "And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared. There must be some preparation if you're going to do things the right way. I watched your pastor out here, and he was running around like just a madman. And I was trying to talk to him, and he was organizing everything. I mean, they had all this stuff prepared, you know, and they had vans and cars and people and stuff, and I would talk to him, and I'll be right back, you know, and he's over here, and he's directing this and directing that, you know, and I was just watching. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't about to get involved in it. I didn't even know where to go, you know. And I was watching him. It was like a conductor of an orchestra, you know, just saying, choon, 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 choon. And all of a sudden, the van got loaded, and the kids got in the van, and he kind of came back, and it's kind of settled down, you know, and we talked for a minute, and he said, "Okay, it's time to hit the road, you know." Now, when I got here, it looked like chaos because everybody's just standing out there talking, but he was prepared. You know what he's done over the years? He has made preparation. And you know what he's seen over the years? He's seen the puzzle pieces just fit. Here's a puzzle. Here's Brother Jeff. Well, that's a puzzle piece. Well, I didn't mean it bad. I was trying to give him a compliment. Why are you guys laughing at him, man? That was rough, brother. I mean, maybe next Sunday you need to get on these folks. I'm telling you, man. Here's Brother Jeff. Isn't that a puzzle piece right there? One of the greatest. I've always enjoyed listening to you pray, man. I love it. Here we got Brother Nolan. He's a puzzle piece. Albeit it's a different color of hair, but it's a puzzle piece. But man, ain't he a great puzzle piece? Is that a puzzle piece? Ain't nobody lead singing like that dude right there. And you got people in places, and I'm not leaving you ladies. I just don't know what you do, you know. I mean, you play the piano. There's a puzzle piece. See, I got a lady here, a puzzle piece, you know. But I don't know what all the rest of it. Okay, you're the I can do anything with money puzzle piece. You know what he's seen over the years? He's seen the right people in the right places. You know why? Because preparation was made. You know what I'm watching? I'm watching God give me some puzzle pieces. I messed up a whole lot of stuff over the years. A lot. I went to Kansas in my zeal. And everything I was doing, I was doing it with the right intention. Trying. And I think I had the right direction, the right drive, but my method was off. Man, I messed up a lot of stuff. And I'll take the blame for it. And then I got another opportunity. And I still had zeal, desire, drive, all that stuff, you know. And man, I was pushing and pushing because I had a reputation to keep up. Any of you ever tried to keep up a reputation? That's tough, man. There's Miss Debbie. She's a puzzle piece. Well, I mean, look, the puzzle piece fits together. I endured to the end of that one. But I messed up a lot there. Out of anger. Meanness. You know what I was telling your pastor? I appreciate you guys putting up with me. You know, he said, boy, he's been coming here, you know, since 2005. I have. Six. Sometimes I was mad. You guys just put up with me. You thought I was preaching great. Now, here we are. We've come all this way. Your pastor told me one time, he said, if you can't change, now, he wasn't saying it to me. He wasn't saying you need to change, Brother Mike. But he said, if you can't change, you can't grow, because growth is change. Okay, that's one of them things. Man, that clicked. And I thought, okay, maybe I need to change a little thing. Maybe I got a little something that's off. And so I prayed and spent a lot of time praying. Going to the Lord on my knees and asking God, okay, God, what's wrong? What do I need to fix? Not so that I can be liked, but so I can be more effective, so I can do what you want. And then he sent us up there, you know, man, in the last year at this time, we were meeting in a basement and we only had two families. In a year. I mean, it's amazing. We had our five-year anniversary just a couple of weeks ago. We had 39 people on Saturday night. Now, to you, that'd be like having 500 in here. And I was just looking and I was thinking, boy, God's given us a puzzle piece here. Got a piano player. She has taught herself how to play the piano in a year. Not only do I have one piano player, I got two. See, another puzzle piece. Not only do I have that now, but we've got somebody that's taking care of the finances now. See, maybe not. We don't have you. I mean, there's only one of you, you know. But I'm seeing. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm getting some real joy and some real satisfaction out of this thing, because I'm trying to do a right thing, the right way, at the right time, the way God wants it done. And so instead of me pushing all the time and prodding and trying to make it happen, and you know, a lot of times that's what we do in a sermon. We push that sermon. We kind of, you know, try to drum it up, if you will. I'm just trying to let God do whatever it is He wants to do with me, however it is He wants to do it. And so instead of me trying to orchestrate everything, not knocking you, you great orchestrator, you know, and all that, and great planner, and notice there that they assembled the people. Man, they had some order. You got to have some order to things. If you don't have some order, it's going to be chaos. And you're not going to have any joy. You know why you guys enjoy coming to church here and you get great satisfaction out of being church here? Because everything's in order. You don't have four or five people hopping. Well, preacher, would it be all right if I sing tonight? Well, have you practiced? No, I hadn't practiced, but God laid it on my heart, and I think it'll be all right. I hadn't sung for 35 years, but we're going to give her a shot tonight. Will that be all right, preacher? Now, see, if you have order, you don't have that. If you have everything planned out and you have the puzzle pieces in the right place and everything working the way it wants to, the way God wants it to, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have church services that are respectable. And then when you have a visitor to walk in, it's not complete chaos. You got to have the right order. Now, am I making sense to you? I really hope so. Notice there in verse 2, he prepared the people. The people have to be prepared. He directed their actions. Notice in verse 2 also, he established some precepts. I mean, you take things serious. I think what we're doing here is a serious business. And I think we ought to take it serious. You say, now, Brother Mike, this is not usually how you preach. No, it's not. But look, man, I'm telling you, if we get out of order, then it turns to chaos and things just go awry, and then it won't be too long down the road, then church is going to be in apostasy. And all churches are capable of going into apostasy. And the reason that he doesn't allow certain things, the reason that he curtails certain things and he puts a stop to certain things is because he don't want things out of the world creeping into the church and disturbing the order of the church. The reason that he tries to control things, it's not that he's a control freak. It's not that I'm a control freak. I just don't want that stuff out there getting in here. I want this to be different than out there. I don't want ever in our church, when somebody comes from the honky-tonk on Saturday night to come into church on Sunday morning, and they get the same vibe. So somebody's got to take the leadership role and say, no, you know, that's not really what we're going to do. We would love for you to sing, but could you practice for a couple of weeks?
Well, it hurt my feelings. I just knew he'd let me sing. I got a great voice. I love Jesus. Ain't that enough?
I really hope I'm not hitting anybody with that because I'm not trying to. Listen, I'm out here in left field just trying to throw some things out there. But do you understand my point? If you do things the right way, man, there is going to be great satisfaction. And when you leave the service and, you know, maybe the Spirit of the Lord has moved and he's dealt with your heart about something and given you something, and you leave the service and you can say, boy, that was just so good. I think tomorrow when we go to church, instead of wearing my bib overalls, I'm going to put my good clothes on. Because it feels more respectable, you know. It feels like, you know, maybe I ought to dress up for that place. It's a good place. It's a clean place. They don't do things out of whack. I mean, there's only one in here that's waving his hands like a crazy man, and that's Brother Richie trying to get me to turn my microphone on, you know. We're not charismatics. Look down at verse 26. Not only that, if you do things the right way, at the right time, in the right order, the way that God wants you to do them, you know what else you're going to have? You're going to have some great support. You'll have some real satisfaction and some great support. Look there in verse 26. It says, and it came to pass when God helped the Levites. You know, the first time David went down there and tried to get that ark, there wasn't no help from God. But boy, this time there is some help from the Lord. Isn't it good whenever God helps us? I mean, hadn't God helped us over the years? All those times I made a mess of things, you know, and I'd get back up and the Lord would kind of dust my britches off, you know, where he tripped me up a few times, you know, because my head got so big because Brother Chris told me last night, he said, Brother Mike, he said, I'm telling you, that is the best sermon I've ever heard. Now, what's real bad is I believed him at first. I thought he... And then I look at him, and what's that new word I learned this week? Hammer knocker. The old hammer knocker. He was laughing at me. And I thought, oh yeah, I see what you're doing. You're trying to swell my head up so I'll fall tomorrow night. I know what's going on. It was good, wasn't it? Yeah, don't worry, I'll get you back one day. Isn't it good whenever God helps you? You start out and you get down on your hands and your knees, you know, and you say, Lord, I'd like to try to do this if possible. Would it be okay? And would you kind of direct us and show us exactly what to do? That's a puzzle piece right there. That's a puzzle piece. That's a puzzle piece. You do understand you're a puzzle piece, right? You see where you fit? In between the puzzle pieces. And she's a sweet little puzzle piece. I better get more than that. This is the preacher's mama. It better be a unanimous oh amen. Good puzzle piece, you see. God's helped me over the years. You know what the Bible says? I think it's, if I'm wrong, I think it's Psalm 46. He's a very present help. He's present. He's present. He's always there. Get down on your hands and knees and you pray and you say, Lord, I sure would like it if you'd help me. We started doing these doors. Now this is what we've been trying to do. Now, I don't go street preaching. Okay, nobody hit me or anything. I'm pretty good. Didn't get any oranges thrown at me. Matter of fact, we didn't even go to Waynesville and hand out tracts yet. We may someday. I'd like to get there. But you know what we do right now? We made up these door hangers. We got these little plastic sleeves. We go out and hang these door hangers, you know. Now, that's not the important thing. You say that is important. No, wait a minute. Do you know that whenever we have a set aside a day for that, we have about anywhere between 10 and 18 guys show up? I'm like, they pull in the parking lot. Listen, this one guy came. He drove 2.5 hours to help us. He was about 20 minutes late. And when he got there, he said, oh, Brother Mike, he said, I'm so sorry I'm late. He said, I'm just so sorry. He said, will you please forgive me? I said, Brother, ain't no big deal. You know, we start late. He said, well, we was coming up the road and my door fell off. I said, man, that's some dedication right there, you know. I said, well, how did you make it? He said, well, I got this one to hang on to it till we got down there to the Family Dollar. When I got to the Family Dollar, he said, I went in there and got me a ratchet strap. And he said, I strapped that thing down. He said, that thing ain't going to open me. He said, the problem is we can't get in the thing now. I said, man. I could not make this up for nothing, man. And we were all just cackling about it, you know. And I thought, boy, I bet the Lord's looking down and he's saying, that's what I like right there. That's some dedication right there. Live across the street and can't even get to church. And these guys are having to hang on to a door coming up I-26. Man, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, isn't that something? How the Lord helps you. I believe that if you do things the right way in the right time, the way that God wants you to do them, I believe He gives you great help. He's a very present help in time of need. God's helped me a lot over the years. I love Him. Paul obtained some help so he could continue on. We need that help. So we can continue on. You know, I was reading you that last night about how he strengthened himself. We're never going to be able to make it to the end of this race in our own strength. We're going to have help from the Lord. If I'm going to make it to the end of my race with my boots on, serving Jesus Christ, I'm going to have his help. And I got news for you, you're going to have his help as well. You need his help every day. You need to depend on him and trust him and love him and serve him every day. You need to get up in the morning and you need to put on the whole armor of God every day. You need to go through that list over in Ephesians chapter 6 and you need to find those pieces and you need to put them on and you say, God, protect me and help me today. And I'm talking about everybody. Every Christian, everybody that's saved needs to get on their knees. Or if you can't get on your knees, get in your prayer closet. If you can't do that, sit in your bed, lay in your bed, do whatever you can. But get a hold of God and say, God, I need your help. And I'm telling you, God will help you. You know, if the Bible says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, I'm going to hang on to that promise. And I know that God will help you. Look over, if you will, look over in 1 Chronicles 29 for just a minute. Look down at verse 14. Can I have a Kleenex, somebody, please? Is there up here? We got some. $5, brother, $5. Thank you. Look there in 1 Chronicles 29:14. I guess maybe this ought to be our attitude. It is my intention to preach out of this chapter tomorrow, so you'll know where I'll be. But he says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Look at that. And of thine own have we given thee. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's see. What is his name right there? What? Caleb. Okay, so Caleb comes to you one day and he says, I've been listening to Brother Walker preach and he's convicted me and I'd like to start tithing. And you're going to be so excited, you're going to say, that's a real blessing, honey. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, could I have some money so I could start tithing? And you know what you're going to say? Yeah, here's your $5. Go ahead and put it in there. You are doing it, yeah. How do I know which ones are doing these things? I have no clue. You know what? That's what the Lord does for us. He gives us stuff so we can give. It ain't ours anyway. All this stuff you're trying to hang on to, God gave it to you. Everything you have, your house. Yeah, no, wait now, Brother Mike. You ain't going to go down that road with me. I worked and I paid the payments. If it hadn't been for God, you still wouldn't be working. If it hadn't been for the Lord, you wouldn't have made them payments. If it hadn't been for God giving you enough sense to get the job that you've got so that you could make them payments, so you could make enough money to make them payments, you wouldn't have nothing you got. If it had not been the Lord, everything we have is because of the goodness of God. When we first started out, we were telling your pastor and his wife the other day, you know, we was traveling around with them, telling them some things. And when we first started out, we left Bible school. Karen, in her mind, she said she prepared that she would never own a house. She said, you know, I knew that we wouldn't have nothing. And she said she prepared herself for that. And one day, the Lord let us buy a house. I mean, I was with her. I didn't think we was going to have one. And we bought a house, and now we got a house. We're even getting close to the place to where that thing paid off, man. I didn't say I was rich. I said I'm still making payments. But we got a house, you know. We got a house. We got two cars. We, in Kansas, we used to drive by houses out there. We drove by. I can remember driving down the road, me and her talking about it. Here is this young couple that might have been 25. They had a brand new house and two brand new automobiles, and we were driving a 20-year-old car with two kids in it, with rickety car seats, and it just barely going down the road, going poop, 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 like that. And we looked at that and we said, how in the world can they afford that? And you know what God's done for us? God, and I'm not telling you that, you know, if you serve the Lord, the Lord's going to give you all these things. But boy, over time, the Lord's helped us and He's blessed us and He's given us things. Man, not only do we have one house, we got two houses now. Did you hear me correctly? I mean, none of you are as excited about that as I am. I mean, that's just God working out some things and doing some things and me yielding. Learning to yield. Boy, learning to yield and give in when we want to do it ourselves, that's tough, isn't it? He'll be a support to you. But now I've got to warn you a little bit. Look back over in 1 Chronicles 15 and look at verse 29. And I'm just about done. After David comes back, they have great joy. They've got, you know, things set up right. They've got the order to everything, and David's there. He's excited, and I mean, just, you know, things have worked out well, and he's really excited. You know, maybe Brother Walker comes to church one Sunday morning, and I mean, man, the Lord has laid on his heart a great sermon. He's excited about it. The singing is just spectacular. I mean, just everything is great. When he gets done, Brother Chris comes up to him and he says, "Brother Walker, that is the best sermon I have ever heard in my life, even above Brother Wheeler's." He said, "That's just great." And Brother David, he gets excited, you know, and he's, "Man, I'm telling you, it was good, wasn't it?" I mean, just starts dancing, gets his banjo out, and he starts dancing, you know, plays a little bluegrass. I mean, he's just excited. He's excited about Jesus. And he gets in the car. And Miss Christie says, "Well, what you so happy about?" Now, surely, I mean, I don't know everybody, but surely none of you have ever done that before, have you? Please know that I know you have never done that. Let's look there in verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass that the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out of the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart." Now let me tell you what else there's going to be. If you do a right thing, the right way, at the right time, the way that God wants you to do, there is a relentless struggle. There's always going to be somebody, some Christian who may be going through something and having a hard time, and they see you excited and they can't get there. And they're going to bust your bubble. I remember whenever I was called to preach, don't worry, I'm about done. We're not going as long as we did last night. I hope I hadn't went that long. I remember when I first got called to preach, I told my mother, I said, "Mom," I said, "I just wanted to call and tell you that the Lord's called me to preach." And boy, there was kind of a silence on the other end of the phone, you know. I was really hoping for praise the Lord, you know. Didn't quite get that. And she said, "Now, don't you think you've taken this just about far enough?" She said, "You got ordained as a deacon. Ain't that enough?" I said, "Well, I really believe the Lord's called me to preach. I'll talk to you later." Called my dad. I was really hoping for a little better response from my dad, you know. I called my dad and I said, "Daddy, I just want to let you know I believe the Lord's called me to preach." And he said, "Son, I think you've just talked yourself into this." I was 0 for 2 here, you know. I mean, I was getting nowhere. So I went and told my papaw, his daddy, who is a preacher, was a preacher, a Free Will Baptist preacher, nonetheless is a preacher. I went and told him, and he said, "Maybe you need to wait a while." And I was getting nowhere with anybody. But I remember going to my preacher, Brother Dennis Phillips, and I was nervous, man. I was nervous. And because I was getting nowhere, you know what I mean? And so I went to him, and I sat down with him. I said, "Look, brother," I said, I need to tell you something." And me and Karen had gone to their house, you know, and I'd told Karen, and we'd gone to their house. I wanted to tell him, and she sat with his wife, and me and him went down to his basement. He had taught me the Bible down in his basement, showing me all kind of Dr. Upman's videos, you know. And I remember the first time I went over there, he said, "Now look, brother," he said, "now," he said, "you got to promise me, you're going to watch this all the way through." I said, "Okay," and he waited a minute, and he said, "No," he said, "now look." He said, "You've got to make me a promise that you're going to watch this thing all the way through." I said, "Okay, well, it's okay, I'll watch it, you know." And I watched it all the way through, and I think when it was over with, I was sitting there like, I ain't never heard nothing like that before, you know. I went over there with him, you know, and I crawled down the went down the basement with him. That sounded weird, you know, crawled down the basement with him in the crawl space, you know. I went down the basement with him, you know, and we were sitting there. And I said, "Look, preacher," I said, I got to tell you something. I said, "I believe the Lord's called me to preach." He said, "Well, what took you so long?" He said, "I knew he called you to preach about 6 months ago. It's about time you're telling somebody." I said, "Okay, well, I got one." I remember he asked me, he said, "Okay," he said, "since you're called to preach," he said, "why don't you go ahead and preach on a Sunday night?" He said, "We'll give you, you know, a couple, 3 or 4 weeks or whatever it was, you know." And I said, "Okay, I'm ready." I had picked Exodus 18 for my first sermon. The only thing I can remember I said was this: "I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God." That's a long time ago, man. I ain't changed my mind on that. And I said, and the other thing is that when you get saved, you are eternally secure in Jesus Christ, and there ain't absolutely nothing can change that. That's the only thing I know. I preached something else, but that's the only thing I remember. And man, I'm telling you what, I was so excited. I was so zealous to do something for the Lord. I said, "What do you think I ought to do next?" He said, "I'd sell everything, got moved to Pensacola, and go to Bible school." So you know what I did? We sold everything, we had moved to Pensacola, and went to Bible school. But I still had some people that really didn't want me to do that. Had some opposition. If you serve the Lord, there's going to be somebody that's going to try to oppose you and going to try to prevent you from serving. Maybe it's you. Maybe you are the one that's opposing yourself. You know, I think there's a verse, can't exactly remember it right now, but we're supposed to preach and teach those who oppose themselves. And sometimes we get to a place where we oppose ourselves. We're not willing to step out there and by faith and do what God wants us to do. I'm going to tell you what, one of the best things you could do is step out by faith and do what God wants you to do at the right time, in the right way, doing it His way. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be great satisfaction, great support. But there's also going to be a relentless struggle. Are you prepared for that? Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Brother Walker, you come close however you want to, brother.